Welcome to Christ Today, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for understanding and direction as we seek what shall we do in anticipation of the coming days. Today we're going to continue with my second and final review of the book Surviving the Coming Storm by Ray Gahino. I am selecting only various parts of this book to read, and this is the second of the two programs on this. Ray is a Christian man, and he has that orientation about serving God first, and so that's why I'm putting his book review on this program. It is an older book, 6 years old, but it still has a thinking that I think we all might find a benefit from. So we're continuing on right now, and the chapter is starting to prepare. It starts with the family. The key to preparing is not to become overwhelmed, and so we will want to make sure we have enough water, food, gear, and gadgets on hand to keep our families healthy, as well as being able to help loved ones in times of need. These challenges seem to be very daunting, but if you take small steps and consistently move forward, you will be able to look back one day and look at all that you have done through preparedness and God's grace. You can put together a decent food pantry and gather ample supplies for your family and even enough to help others, which is right. So where do you start? The first place to start is with your family. Sit down with them, tell them about your concerns, and perhaps you can guide them towards a mutual agreement. If your family is behind what you're doing, you should be able to accomplish a lot more and do it more quickly than if you did not have your family's help. It will be like walking through a swamp with each step taking its toll on you if your family is not in agreement. After getting your family's blessing and support, share this book with them. Highlight points that you will want to share with them later or as you go along. Ask your spouse to do the same thing. Often men and women receive the same information in two different manners, and it's a benefit to work together. More ideas will be coming up and in the book and as you go through this process. Working together will ensure that your family is provided for in hard times. My wife and I always discuss what is going on in the world, and we discuss ways that we might prepare for what impact it might have on our family. One example of empty store shelves is Hurricane Katrina. Well, this couple has always tried to store food and put a little bit away, but it really changed our lives as a married couple when we were in Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Rita. They hit the Gulf Coast in 2005. We live out in the country in southeast Texas, about 2 hours away from the Gulf Coast. It's a little bit of a drive to get into town. We have been keeping an eye on the news of Hurricane Katrina heading our way, but then the hurricane was ramped up and it became a pretty bad hurricane. So much so that we realized that the hurricane was probably going to hit where we lived, and about 9 o'clock in the evening, we headed to the local Walmart to pick up some things that we might need. In the past, we had gone there this time of night, and the place was pretty much empty. But that night, however, it wasn't the case. It was mayhem. It seemed like just about everyone in our town was thinking the same. Stock up on the basic supplies, like bottled water, milk, eggs, and bread. We found some of the last water on the shelves, which was $6 for a six-pack, and I decided to skip the water when we found a few cases of less expensive sporting water. And while we were in the sporting goods department, we looked for flashlights and batteries, anything that would shed light, but the shelves were already picked clean. There was not even a single battery or a single flashlight to be found in the entire store. We then looked for any sort of food that did not have to be cooked and heated, like beef stew or Lunchables or just about anything along those lines. And again, the shelves were picked clean. And the next thing on our list was toilet paper. However, the toilet paper also was already gone. In fact, all the shelves had literally been cleared. Also, sugar, flour, potato chips, macaroni and cheese, and everything like that was gone. Some families had walkie-talkies to communicate with one another when they went around the store to get everything that they needed. They disappeared, and their with family members each going in a different direction, each with their walkie-talkie. And they had a search for last-minute supplies. Now, these family had that part of it together, even on such short notice. My wife and I, on the other hand, in our feeble attempt to get what we could, had to be content with what little we could find, regardless of how things were or bad they would get. I remember clearly standing in a checkout line for 30 minutes. We looked at each other and said, "Never again." We had learned a lesson, but it still had a long way to go. Right behind Katrina came Hurricane Rita. This time we thought we were ahead of the game. At the first mention of a hurricane coming our direction, we hightailed it over to the Walmart. This time we did better. We were able to get some bottled water, flashlights, and yes, even toilet paper. But thinking that we were ahead of the game, well, we weren't, and like many others who thought that they could do the same thing and rush to the discount centers, nope, there was some little problem. My wife and I decided that we had to get our act together. If anything serious were ever to happen, we would be like many of the other people out there, up a creek without a paddle. So our lives changed. We made the deliberate decision to start living life with preparedness in mind. The next week, I cleaned out a closet, and we started to save water in 1-gallon jugs. Every time we went to the grocery store, we picked up an extra 20-pound bag of rice or beans. We purchased some extra cans of Spam and other canned goods. We slowly started adding these things to our supply closet, and after a while, we had a pretty nice pantry going. Even if we had a bad spell of weather, we would be able to get by. So we started purchasing first aid supplies, and batteries, and flashlights, and candles, and ammo? Yes, ammo. That's right, because we live outside of the city, and if anything were to happen, it takes quite a while for the sheriff to respond. And it would be better to have some things than to be caught off guard. So I started to put away a 22 rimfire and 12-gauge shotgun ammunition, since those were the only firearms we had. I thought we had had all our needs covered, that is, until the H1N1 swine flu epidemic hit in the spring of 2009, and our little town was ground zero for the outbreak here in Texas. In less than 24 hours, 100 more cases of suspected swine flu were detected in Comal County. Comal County Health Authority Dorothy Oberman said Wednesday, the majority of the flu cases were in students, and the decision to close schools was as well as social distancing could prevent further spread of influenza. That was the news we woke up to on April 30th, 2009. At around 9 p.m., April 29th, we had crossed the threshold for the definition of Phase 6 global pandemic with the World Health Organization declaration. This had not happened in any of our lives so far. We were in uncharted territory, and it was suggested that people avoid public gatherings, shopping, schools, etc. Many businesses, as well as all the schools, closed down. Our sleepy little town turned into a ghost town. At 10 o'clock, an hour after the WHO announcement, my wife and I headed to Walmart, figuring that the scare related to the emergency declaration would keep folks at home. Again, we were surprised. The shelves were already missing items like hand sanitizers, face masks, Lysol, and vitamins. Due to the prior events, we had already started stocking up on things to tide us over if we needed to stay inside for a while. But we were not fully stocked up on medical supplies. We had had a few things on hand, but we could have been better prepared. Going through the H1N1 outbreak gave us yet another wake-up call concerning what we needed to work on next. We needed to have even more supplies on hand. So, why prepare? Ask 100 folks why they are preparing and you will hear 100 different reasons. But the reason I wrote this book, which is my why, is so that my family and I can make a difference for the Lord. What do you think is most important when it comes to preparedness? I bet 9 out of 10 readers would answer family. I think this is what makes a Christian who prepares for hard times different. Food and gear alone are not going to get us through. Our spiritual preparedness will have a lot to do with whether we make it or not. Our relationship with the Lord reflects on concern for ensuring our family's health and welfare and our love for Him that binds the family even more tightly together during those hard times. Our love for Him helps us to get through the thick and the thin. Our spiritual fortitude toughens us so that we can face tomorrow. Knowing the Lord is right with us is what helps us weather the storms. Unfortunately, those of us who have a fear-based mentality will not make it. Without a positive outlook, then what is already crazy in the world will become a whole lot worse. Facing hardship with a negative attitude usually causes one of two things to happen. One is likely to resort to a life of crime and become a predator upon society. Two is likely to resort to drugs, drinking, and other vices to fill the void that God would occupy. During a time of hardships, this void becomes even more painful and the ability to cope with various situations diminish. So the person delves even further into the self-destructive abuse of the vice, which can be deadly. They do not motivate us to move forward. If anything, they hold us back. The foundation of true preparedness requires long-term solutions. Thus, the deep why, backed up by our relationship with the Lord, will drive us when we do not want to get out of bed or when we just want to give up, period. This is why those of us who are Bible-believing Christians need to strengthen and nourish our personal spiritual muscles. When the evil day comes, we will be able to stand. So ask yourself, why do we want to have extra water on hand? Why do we feel the need to learn self-defense and own a gun? Why do we want to gain more knowledge regarding survival skills and medical care? Consistently reminding yourself of the deep why will empower you to keep moving forward. Next chapter. preventing overwhelming burnout. With baby steps, one can accomplish just about anything in an amount of time. I am a big fan of taking baby steps, and I always am asking the Lord to guide me down the paths my wife and I should take. I want to share with you what my wife and I considered our life Bible verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. I call this our life verse because we both try hard daily to live by these very words, trusting God always, never leaning on our own understanding, and knowing that, in doing that, God will direct our paths. Peace comes from having him at the helm. However, if you have not taken any steps towards preparedness, your baby steps will have to pick up the pace a bit to catch up. Where do you store your food? Before you start purchasing all the food supplies you'll need to find a suitable place to store all that food. There are certain conditions that you need to think about. For example, food does not do well when exposed to heat and light. Where my family and I live, our garage is not air-conditioned, and it actually gets hotter in the garage than the ambient temperature outside, which does not create good storage space. So, you will need to determine what area will be best for you to store your food in. Finding the best conditions of food storage. As I mentioned, store your food in a cool, dry place away from sunlight and in an area that maintains a pretty constant temperature, trending of around 60 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. If the temperature is too cold, the food may freeze, and if it's too hot, it may deteriorate or take away its nutritional value. If you live in the country or a rural area and you have a root cellar, then you have been truly blessed. Insulated, temperature-controlled garages are also a great place for food storage, as are spare bedrooms, unfinished rooms, crawl spaces, closets, under the stairways, and even under beds. Ideas for tight quarters for the apartment dwellers. Well, under the bed is good. At the bottom of the bookshelf is good. You could even make a bookshelf and fill it up with supplies. End tables and coffee tables can be adapted to have food underneath or next to. And for water filtration systems, there are quite a few different ones. And there's camping ones that are small. And there's the big Berkey water filtration systems that are a great solution for more than a couple of people. So be sure to look into the Berkey water filtration systems. His personal preference is the Royal Berkey system, and it holds 3 gallons and is 15 inches tall. Another thing to consider is a food dehydrator. It will make food last longer, and it will save you money. Also consider a kitchen grain grinder or mill. That's on your list of must-have in the food storage preparation list, because that's what you need to grind your grain and turn it into flour. Wheat found in King Tut's tomb in Egypt was still good enough to grind into flour and use in bread. Now, as far as I know, nobody did it, but it was still in good shape after over 2,000 years. That's the point. Another idea for food storage is to vacuum seal your various foods. Don't forget a pressure cooker. That's good to have to effectively reach a higher temperature because it's under pressure. And so a pressure cooker is always a good idea. He likes a 21-quart model because it is large enough and presumably not too large. Remember powdered drink mixes such as Gatorade or Kool-Aid or iced tea or Tang. Those are good things. Tuna and chicken in cans or foil pouches. You also can buy whole chickens or canned meat. Also, canned tamales can be good. Potatoes in one form or another, so you can get them in a can, or you can get instant mashed potatoes, and those are a good source of carbohydrates when you need that energy. And finally, don't forget the condiments like ketchup and mustard and relish and salad dressings and barbecue sauce, all sorts of sauces. And that really helps with some plain foods like rice and beans and lentils. So don't forget that. Salt and pepper always should be in plentiful supply. You can use that with many, many things. Chapter 4, Home Defense, Getting a Gun. I'm going to kind of go over this one quick. The author has ideas about guns and knives. You probably have your own ideas, and I will let your ideas stand with whatever they are. But to continue in his book, the author suggests the convenience of a handgun. And he says, shotguns are also good, and so are self-loading rifles. He strongly recommends buying ammunition before it becomes widely unavailable, which would happen in the event of a disaster. He talks about countries in other parts of the world that have stopped ammunition sales when events occur. And also he talks about other countries in the world taxing each bullet, like a dollar per bullet or several dollars per bullet. That's not a box, but that's per bullet. So that's what he says, and I would add to this, if you choose to own a gun, please keep it safely locked up or completely on your person at absolutely all times. Remember that a bullet fired by mistake cannot be called back. Okay, so moving on to chapter 8, When the Storm Breaks Loose. So I have talked about the coming storm, but I want to discuss what I believe will take place when the storm breaks loose. In this time frame will not be a long time frame, but it will be a time that no one ever forgets. I believe it may be a time that would last a matter of weeks, maybe a matter of months. And then the natural tendencies of man will bring up stabilization and destabilization, and we will adapt. And he believes the dollar will die. And I can see that possibility too. He says he's not a prophet, he's simply a watchman, and he sees these things occurring, and he's sounding the alarm that the dollar just might die. He says he's had historical research into past situations, what has happened to other countries and their monies that have already gone through massive economic downfalls, and says that we are following the countries almost step by step towards a monetary implosion. I believe that it will be in the near future that the dollar will die. We are over-leveraged to the point of a single event within the stock market can bring this nation to her knees. And Solomon stated in Ecclesiastes 1:9 that the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. He says, man has not learned this lesson from history, therefore he is destined to repeat the same mistake over and over. To continue, one scenario which could make the whole system go down is a commodities price spike could trigger a treasury sell-off, which would be a computer program which a computer program would read, and then it would trigger a commodities sell-off, and it would affect treasury bills and stocks, and you could depend on all of those things being sold. And all of this could happen in just a few minutes because it is triggered by a computer program. And so we don't even have a human interaction. It just happens by computerized program. That would be a very quick and automatic response. And with that happening, the U.S. dollar will quickly fall and then die. When I see this happening, or when you see it happening, you will want to go to the store and buy whatever you can, because a monetary crisis is right at hand. Since it may be longer than you think before a normal life can return. It's just a question. Okay, so when these things occur, when you see them beginning, you can recognize that hyperinflation will very, very quickly follow. Now, as the value of paper prices plunge, that is, dollars as they go down, stocks and bonds and even money will also tumble greatly. Only physical things will retain their value. Things like pure silver coins, or gold, or gasoline, or clothes, or soap, or medicine. These things will keep their value. You can expect prices to triple or even more, if you can even find anything to buy. So you can expect food shortages and the price of anything that is a foodstuff to go very high. And although there is hyperinflation occurring, the value of your house could lose half of its value or even more. And we have seen examples of this happening in history and in France, England, and Germany. But it has also happened in the United States. It happened during the Revolutionary War and again during the Lincoln administration. It happened when people lost faith in the value of paper currency. And then the economy went bust, and hyperinflation ensued. Now it would be a very chaotic situation, and we would need our cities to be policed. And even if we called our troops home and called on the troops to police the cities, there would not be enough soldiers to do that. And this creates the possibility of a United Nations or some foreign troops coming into the United States to help out. For how long? We don't know. This is a great big question. So now what? Let's just say that has happened. What does that mean? Then we are in the situation of a new normal. It doesn't mean that we would have a nuclear wasteland. Probably you would not expect any thermonuclear weapons to be exploded. Huh. It might be like Argentina in 2001. In Argentina, there was a massive economic downfall in December of 2001. Its banks closed and its money rose, or devalued, I should say, and the world turned upside down there. It had a massive rise in crime and in drugs and in prostitutions and in alcohol, in murder, in kidnapping, in theft and mugging. Argentina went from being a first-rate first-world country to a third-world country overnight. So how do you prepare for hyperinflation? Well, just do what Noah did. Yeah. Build your own ark while the event takes place, or I mean before the event takes place. But this ark must be built of true and tangible assets, not equities, not stocks, not bonds, ETFs, or mutual funds. It should be not built on the U.S. dollar or other foreign fiat currency. It would have to be on something solid. When the zenith of hyperinflation takes place, there will be a plethora of opportunities that you can see and then purchase at very low prices. Robert Kiyosaki, one of my mentors, suggests purchasing cash-streamed, producing residential properties. He also likes minings and pharmaceuticals and industrial production companies. At the height of the hyperinflation storm, these things will hit rock-bottom prices, and then you can buy them then. There was a famous quote from a Depression-era person who said, "Buy when there is blood in the streets." And he believes that America will end up like that today. It will be a bad day. Crime will be higher, jobs will be scarce, and food and gas prices will triple or even 4 or 5 times the normal rate. But we will adapt and we will overcome. But there is another possible outcome, and that is what other countries have done, have wanted to do, but have not. And that is turn or return to God. After all, our United States was founded on biblical principles. So we have a chance, a better chance than other countries. Our nation can still experience a great awakening to God the Father, the Creator of the universe, and that would be after a great upheaval. Finally, turning the ship around after hyperinflation hits will take 15 to 20 years. It took approximately 25 years after our last depression to get over it, and it will probably take the same amount of time for the next one. There are other countries who have taken decades to get out of such a difficult situation of hyperinflation. We will be willing to take on 3 or 4 years of hard sacrifice so that we can emerge more quickly from it. Will we? A few people will, but mostly we won't. We will need strong men and women to preach the gospel boldly. Godly people will need to show that man is lost, but they can be saved from the fires of hell through the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to return to being accountable to God. Getting through this coming economic storm might be just what the doctor ordered to return this nation to what she once used to be, a good and great nation that fears God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to say that history shows another solution, at least in other nations. What has always come out of an economic upheaval in other nations has been a strong charismatic leader who returns or forces the nation back to a gold or a silver standard on the economy. We just have to be careful, because there have been lots of people who have been dictators like Caesar and Napoleon and Adolf Hitler that have become great leaders after a political or economic upheaval. So all those people led their nations on a quick rise, but they also swept away any dissidents, any good men and good women who disagreed with what they had to say. And so a moral fortitude was hard to maintain. It's hard to say what the future will hold. There's so many paths that we could travel, but man in all his wisdom seems to choose the path of least resistance instead of the path of good. At least that is what history has shown us. The United States was born out of a desire for religious freedom, and this is what makes a nation different from other nations. We have survived two other economic upheavals, resulting in hyperinflation. We will survive the third. How we come out on the other side is anyone's guess. History shows that our last awakening took place after the Civil War hyperinflation of the late 1800s. Although many turned to the Lord in the Great Depression of the 1920s and 30s, it was not like the prior revival of the 1800s. In all of this, we, as Bible-believing Christians, will need to stand in the evil day, or there is a chance that we will fall by the wayside. What will take place depends on what we do now. We can either prepare and build our arks for the sake of the gospel, or we can bury our heads in the sand and ignore the lessons of the past. I pray that there are enough who love the Lord who will work hard to build an ark for the good of protecting and freely sharing the gospel. The other option will result in utter tyranny and oppression. God's word says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun." Ecclesiastes 1:9. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Proverbs 30:25. And the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Proverbs 6:6. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. So many things. Chapter 9, Crime. And we will need to deal with it, because that is something that just happens when a society decays. You must make up your mind right now that you will not follow any criminal. You must make up your mind right now that you will not allow any criminal to harm you or your loved ones. Determine right now that your house, your home, will not be broken into by ruthless criminals who would take your possessions and possibly hurt those who look to the home as shelter from the world outside. Decide these things right now and burn them into your soul. One day, you may need to act on this. And when you do, use extreme determination to do away with the threat until there is no longer a threat. Determine it to the point of using deadly force if need be. Purpose it. Propose it now. Chapter 10. Fight, flight, or freeze. Purposing your mind. You have to examine this beforehand. Here's what the scripture says. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Psalms 144:1. And I look and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wife, and your houses. Nehemiah 4:14. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians 6:13. That, Ephesians, is a big one. And I think right now we can look at what that Ephesians 6:10 says, because it is something we can always remember. Always, always. I like the Ephesians 6:10-20, and I'm going to read that now. It's about the whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, with supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So that was a review of this book, and there are just parts of it that certainly will ring true with you. I am so glad that you are listening to this review of the book, and I am concerned with many of the things that we could face today. There are so many possibilities, so many paths, and there's a number of things that could happen. Now, the author sees the death of the dollar, and this is something that he had a little familiarity with, so it's easy to see why he would recognize this scenario. And I also see this scenario and other scenarios which are likely. So we tend to see a pathway which we are familiar with, and of course that's what the author is writing about. and to there are different destinations that we will favor and different paths that we will favor. So that was one man's opinion. I value it. I like the thought that he's put into his book, and I'm glad I had a chance to go over it with you. So there is enough room in our examinations of whatever is coming to determine that there are several paths that can easily lead to destruction, the destruction of society or money or some other aspect of our social fabric. So, like I said, several types of destructions could happen. And my point here is to mention that with all the different possibilities, we can see that there could be another Great Depression or a societal collapse just around the corner. This is happening with more and more people who see it. So let us take the steps that we can so that those around us, those around our family and the other people around us, would be able to survive such an event of a collapse. Each of us has a different idea of what is needing to be done and of the things that we need to have on hand. And we can survive whatever is coming much better if we work together than if we all have our own little place of security, because there will be things that each one of us will remember and there will be things that each one of us forget. So I do suggest that community, having a community of people. If it gets to be that bad, sure. And if it gets to be just a difficulty, sure. People can always help people, and we should remember that that is what we want to do. And we also want to consider the words that I maybe too often say, and that is to think, to plan, and to do. But that's what I think is so important. You have to have an idea of what just might come. And it could be a little bit bad or a whole lot bad. So, or it could be glorious and good. We could still have some good years ahead of us. But we will not be harmed if we just take reasonable steps towards a preparedness orientation. And no one knows the future, and that is no one but God. God knows all about what the future holds. So what can we do? Well, I can suggest that we each have a relationship with God and that we want to pay the most attention to that relationship, because God is the source of everything and He can direct us. He can see the troubles and the difficulties in life, whether they are super large or super small. We have to keep that relationship with Him. That means speaking to Him and learning to listen and hear His voice. Hear how He speaks to us, whether it is with a feeling or a thought in our mind or that still, quiet voice. That's what I think is most likely. So, the other part that we will have to contend with is if there is any anger, if there is any fear, or frustration. If there are those things, anger, fear, or frustration, we must try to redirect the energy which those feelings generate and go towards a positive goal. And it will be different for different people, but the point is don't get lost in that energy of anger, fear, and frustration. Instead, turn it into a positive orientation. Do something which can be done. Speak to people which you know and create an energy of positiveness around you. Now, when I say energy, I really mean God's energy. I'm not into the New Age things. I have found that God is the source. It is so clear, so clear. And having looked into all those areas of alternative of energies, let's say, you learn that it is just not true. it is true to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. That's where your focus can be. And like I say again and again, I say think, plan, and do. I know, I really do see that. Think, plan, and do. Very important. I am very glad that you're listening to this broadcast, which is the second part of a book review, which I have talked about the title and subject of it. And I want you to remember that any of these previous broadcasts can be heard again on ChristToday.org. You simply type in all lowercase letters with no spaces, ChristToday.org, and you can listen to past programs. There's a number of them that are on preparedness, but there are also many guests on the other dates. Good guests, so please have a listen. I suppose my favorite preparedness one was January 7th, 2017. I like that, and I like some subsequent ones, but just please have a listen. I also invite you to contact me through my email, which is prepareforgod@usa.com. Prepareforgod@usa.com. It's all lowercase, no spaces. You also can contact me by regular U.S. Postal Service at P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And just address that to John Stephenson. So these are the things I do like to hear, what your concerns are, what you would like me to talk about, and probably I can talk a bit about that in a future broadcast. So do let me know, or let me know what you like, what you know, let me know what you think, because I'm trying to make this a program that benefits you. That's my desire here. But don't forget to do the preparedness. The preparedness is something that every one of us needs a little bit of, and maybe a lot of us, especially if we have a family. Oh, there's so many things that get used, and they have to be in a system or you forget all about it. And by the way, that's why I like the grains, the sugar, salt, oil, yeast. Just those are the basic things. And the other foods have to be rotated and be watched over very closely. Now, I was not very good at rotating the food, the cans of things, for instance. So, sure, I did it, but I got caught off guard plenty of times, and things slipped by. So you either have to have a lot of room or a very good organizational system. And besides that, I have no idea when the coming storm is going to be here. It could be in a few, well, it could be really quick. I mean, that's a possibility. We see the things around the world that are happening, and they could easily and quickly, almost immediately, turn our situation into a chaotic situation. Oh, yeah, I won't even go into them, but there's plenty of them in the world system. Consider the things that are going on. Realize how quickly anything could turn about. Anything could change. And that's why I urge you to get extras, whatever it is. Everybody has our own list of what we think is important. I certainly say water, and I certainly say food. Beyond that, why, you can get all the nice things and the sweets or flavorings that you want, and they're all good. Get them all. And just, you can do a little bit at a time. That seems to be the best alternative, is to do it in a relatively slow manner. But like the man in the story was saying, that once a crisis hits, you will not be able to get any of the things that you now can so easily purchase. They simply will be unavailable. We've seen that from the emergencies in this country. We've seen that from the emergencies in other countries. And if there is a problem with our currency where somehow it turns into hyperinflation, or there's some other problem, especially with our big $20 trillion national debt, Anything could happen. Anything. So that's why I say, look. Look at what can be done. And then do something. You have to have an idea. So look at what can be done. That's another word for think. And then you see what you want to do, which is another word for plan. And then you do. Do something. Take steps to fulfill that plan of the things that you have examined. Because it's just such a fragile system that anything can happen. We see these things going on right now in our country, in our politics, in our world. We see the edges of things happening. Now, I know it's something that not everybody likes to talk about, but there have been prophetic people in the past, and the best way you can look at them is to see, have what they talked about become true. And there are true things going on that include the messes around the world. Okay, so I will go into that another day, I think, but today I just want to remind you that you have to look at what you are preparing with. You have to see what the risks are, and then see how you can protect yourself, your family, and others. There's obviously the water and the food. There's medical things, which perhaps you're on a medication. If that's the case, you can look up what other natural remedies there are to keeping your medical problem in control. They often don't work nearly as good, but they work a little bit. And if the medical things are not available, get another source. Find out what natural thing will do a little bit towards alleviating the problem that you have. Have the things that you value in near your front door or in a way that is situated that you can easily take them if you have an emergency situation come up and you have to leave your house. Those things do happen. And fire and, now there's the Oroville Dam flood, which is a possibility. So we can see really plainly that these things are possibilities, even if they're not real common. For the clothes, you just have to figure, it's a big subject. Clothes is, medical is, what you want to eat, all those things. And if you have pets, remember them. Remember the odd things like a knife sharpener or a little plywood to have on hand to shut and close up your windows or your doors if that's what you need to leave suddenly. Have some cash. Your cell phone charger, don't forget that, and phone numbers in case you need that. Pet supplies if you have a pet. Fire extinguishers are always good. You will want to have a map of where you are. Don't forget your insurance papers, your tax papers, or a copy of your identification for the just in case. There's all these things. And have extra of your personal things like toothbrushes and such as that, razors. All these things you'll want to have, and think, plan, and do. Thank you for listening to Christ Today, and may God bless you and you bless God.